I was thinking of reading Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute, text number 8. I'm not going to read the whole verse because it's mostly Sanskrit, and I don't think so many devotees here know Sanskrit, so. Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti madhva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know perfectly this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A learned scholar who has studied the Vedas perfectly and has information from authorities like Lord Chaitanya and who knows how to apply these teachings can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything, both in the material and spiritual worlds. And because he knows this perfectly, he becomes firmly fixed in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. He can never be deviated by any amount of nonsensical commentaries or by fools. All Vedic literature agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva, and other demigods. Just a little Sanskrit here. In the Atharva Veda, Gopala Tapani Upanishad 1:24, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadati Purvam Yovai Vedams Cha Gapiyati Sma Krishna. It was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again the Narayana Upanishad says, Ata Purusho Havai Narayano Kamyata Praja Sri Jaititi. Then the Supreme Personality, Narayana, desired to create living entities. The Upanishad continues, Narayana Brahmana Jayate, Narayana Prajapati Prajayate, Narayana Indra Jayate, Narayana Asto Savavo Vasavo Jayate, Narayana Ekadase Rudra Jayante, Narayana Vida Shatiya Dva Da Shatiya. From Narayana, Brahma is born, and from Narayana, the patriarchs are born. From Narayana, Indra is born. From Narayana, the 8 Vasus are born. From Narayana, the 11 Rudras are born. From Narayana, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Sadharane. Bhagavad Gita has a very consistent philosophy, namely that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This particular verse is part of the Chatura Sloki verses of Bhagavad Gita. That the whole Bhagavad Gita is summarized in 4 verses. So all you do is have to memorize 4 verses and you know the whole Bhagavad Gita. But there's another verse, it's called the Pratibhasa Sutra Sloka. That means there's one verse that summarizes all the Bhagavad Gita. So if you don't have time to read the Bhagavad Gita, at least read one verse a day, that verse, and then you've read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Good deal, right? And if you can't read that, at least say Hare Krishna, because that's the summarization of the whole Bhagavad Gita. And that verse is Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktvadeham Punarjanma Naitimam Iti Sorjana. That anyone who knows the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not upon does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in the material world, but attains my transcendental abode. In other words, the entire Bhagavad Gita is just to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is the method by which we can realize Krishna? So this is the four verses of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, everything is coming from him. So that means everything we think is good comes from him, and everything we think is bad comes from him too. So this is confusing to a lot of people. How can Krishna, who's supposed to be, or how can God, who's supposed to be good, how could so many bad things come from him? But actually, there's nothing bad that comes from him, because everything is good. You all know that story about everything that Krishna does is good? You know that story? Todos que Krishna hace es bueno? It's Spanish, but I don't know. There was one king, and he had a minister. And the minister, he was always chanting Hare Krishna. And he was very positive. He was a very positive minister. Optimistic. So every time something happened, the king would ask the minister, what do you think about that? And the minister would say, I think that everything that Krishna does is good. So the king was a devotee, but he wasn't such a practicing devotee. Therefore, he would get a little angry. It's like the Hare Krishnas. What's the problem in the Middle East? What's the solution? Chant Hare Krishna. I have a toothache. What should I do? Chant Hare Krishna. My wife left me. What should I do? Chant Hare Krishna. Is there any solution other? What's the best solution? Chant Hare Krishna. So the minister was like that. Everything that Krishna does is good. But one day the king and the minister were hunting in the forest because Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt. And the king put the arrow and the bow and was about to shoot. But the arrow fell off and cut the king's finger off. So the king was very disturbed. So he went to the minister and said, what do you think? And the minister said, everything Krishna does is good. So that was the final straw. The king was very upset. And he said, oh, okay. If everything Krishna does is good, if I put you in jail, will that also be good? So the minister said, yes. Everything Krishna does is good. So the king put the minister in jail and said, do you think it's good? And yes, everything Krishna does is good. Chant Hare Krishna. But then there was a group of thieves. They were robbing the king's cows, and the king took his army out to capture the thieves. But unfortunately, the king was separated from his army, and the thieves captured the king and brought the king to their hideout. And there in the hideout, they had a sacrifice for Durga. And the king was going to be sacrificed. So they gave him a little prasadam, and they bathed him, and they brought him before the deity Durga, and they were about to cut his head off as a sacrifice for Durga. But the priest said, stop, stop, wait a second. And everyone looked, all the thieves looked at the priest and said, what's the problem? He said, look at this man. He only has four fingers on one hand. He's imperfect. He can't be sacrificed to the deity Durga. Throw him out of here. So the thieves told the king, he said, I'm sorry. You're imperfect. We can't sacrifice you. Yeah, we'll have to throw you out of here. Get out of here. So they threw him out of the hideout. So the king wandered back to the kingdom and he realized, wow, the minister was right. That because I cut my finger off with the arrow, Krishna saved me from being sacrificed to Durga. So it's a fact, it was good that Krishna had done this. So he went to the minister and said, "My dear minister, you're right, I'm sorry. Krishna saved me by cutting my finger off with the arrow, so I'm letting you out of jail. But I'm just wondering one thing." He said that if everything Krishna does is good, why did he have me put you in jail? So the minister said, "Well, if you didn't put me in jail, then I would have went with you to capture the thieves. And if the thieves captured us, they would have let you go because you only have 4 fingers, but I have 5 fingers, so they would have sacrificed me. So Krishna saved me by putting me in jail. So everything Krishna does is good. Todo que Krishna hace es bueno." So that's the correct vision. That's the vision Bhagavad Gita gives us, is that everything that's going on is perfect. The problem with minor society is that they're trying to change what Krishna has already set up as a perfect system. They think something is imperfect, and what is that imperfection? They think that they're not in control. Minor society means an attempt by imperfect people to impose what they think is a perfect system on a perfect system and make it imperfect. Everything they do creates problems. Just like in 1900, at the beginning of the 1900s, they declared that we have a problem. It was called the horse pollution problem, environmental problem, because there were horses everywhere, and the horses were passing stool on the ground, on the highways. It wasn't exactly a highway, but anyhow, on the roads. And so that we have a big problem. So to solve the problem, they invented the car to solve the horse pollution problem. So now we have cars everywhere, and there's no longer, in most places, any horse pollution. But we do have a little problem with the car pollution. So in order to solve one problem, they created another problem. And now they want to create more and more problems, therefore they have more and more roads, they have more and more problems with gasoline, with petroleum, with accidents, and so many different things. Usually, most times when horses would collide each other, they'd fall off the horse and they'd have to get back on. But there's probably a little bit more grave situation when 2 cars collide with each other. So that's because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, prakritim cha nivritim cha jana navido asura nasocham napichatra nasatyam teshu vijite. They don't know what's to be done, and they don't know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. In other words, because they've rejected Krishna, and because they've rejected Krishna's words, therefore everything they do causes problems. So what is the philosophy that causes the problems? That there is no God. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadohor nishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. They say that is the demon, the asuras, those who are trying to disprove Krishna's existence, that there is no God. Asatyam apratishtam te. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no other cause than lust. They say that at the beginning there was nothing. And because nothing got bored, after all, if you're nothing, there's nothing to do. And mother nothing, she got a little embarrassed that my son is good for nothing. So all their friends were talking about how this man is good for nothing. He never does anything because he's nothing. So mother nothing kept on complaining, telling her son to become something. So he tried for many, many years, thousands of millions of years, and finally he became something. He was able to become a little bit of gas. Something that some of the devotees can produce after the Sunday feast, about that much gas. So nothing became something, but Mother Nothing was still very dissatisfied. That why, you know, that's all you can become, it's an embarrassment. So he became angry and exploded, and he flew everywhere for millions of years, and finally Mother Nothing said to her son, why don't you settle down? So Nothing settled down, and here we are now. So this is called philosophy, or science. Actually, it's called science. We call it science fiction. So on that basis, they're trying to change everything. They're trying to change the agriculture. Instead of relying upon the cow and the bull to plow the land and grow the crops, you don't need fertilizer when you have a cow and bull. The cow and the bull, they pass dung or stool, and that fertilizes the land. You don't need a tractor and a factories and all kinds of transportation systems. In Goloka Vrindavan, they're a little out of date. They still have horse and buggies. They have bullock carts in Goloka Vrindavan. So if you go there, you can set up business, set up an electric car business, and sell cars to Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda. You don't need this bullock cart anymore. No, they made everything so complicated in modern society. If you have a cow and bull, as when I went to New Vrindavan the first time in 1969, and Srila Prabhupada was staying there. They had just opened the New Vrindavan community. Hari Griva Prabhu and Kirtananda Maharaj had gone there and set up their own community, but later on they came and they joined ISKCON again. And when I went there with a devotee named Jagadish, if you know who's my friend from college, Jagadish Prabhu, and who later became Jagadish Maharaj, and a devotee named Bhakta Bill and Bhakti Nari, Irina, who later became Bhagavan Das and Krishna Bhamani Devi Dasi. So we went there to visit Srila Prabhupada, and when I went upstairs, because at that time the new Vrindavan temple was about half the size of this room. That was New Vrindavan at that time. It's grown a little bit since then. And Prabhupada was sitting in the attic, and Bhakti Bill and myself went up to see Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada looked at me and smiled and said, so, how do you like our jungle? Because it was a jungle. At that time, you couldn't drive to New Vrindavan because there was no road. We had to get out of the car and walk around 4 kilometers. The only problem was that it was in April after the rainy season, and there was no road, there was only mud. And at that time, the devotees had renounced everything. As soon as I moved into the temple, then what I had to do is I had to give up my what we called karmi clothes. And we only had dhotis. And we had to give up our shoes because that was also made by the karmis. But we had to wear something, so we had tongs. You know what tongs are? Bath slippers. You know, the things that you use in the bathroom when you take a shower. The thing that had plastic, but it had two things. Like sandals, plastic sandals. So that's all we had. So I took my foot's first step to go to New Vrindavan, and my foot sunk into the mud and broke my sandal. So around 2 hours later, we arrived in New Vrindavan. We went up to see Srila Prabhupada. And he looked at me and said, "So how do you like my jungle? Our jungle." So that's what it was, a jungle. And then I went to see Kirtananda Maharaj. And he was living in a little tiny shack on the side. And he said that Srila Prabhupada told us that all we need is a little land and a cow, and our whole economic problem is solved. So I was trying to figure out how we were going to solve our economic problem in Buffalo, because I was the treasurer, and every month I had to pay for the rent and everything else. And I was thinking, if we bought a cow, and we bought a little land, how would that solve our economic problem? In any case, in the long term, simple living means, and high thinking, that what we thought, Krishna, and he's only given us the cow and the bull and some land for agriculture, but you can't control people very well, because if they have a cow and they have a bull and they have their own land, they can grow the food, their own food, and they don't need anyone else. They're independent. But the people in charge didn't want people to be independent at that time. So technology. Give them a tractor. So if you have a tractor, then automatically, then people have to buy the tractor. And to buy the tractor, they have to get a job. And in order to get the job, they have to, well, not only the job, but then they have to pay for the petroleum and the car insurance. And then they have to get a car to go to the store to buy the food that they grew. Like in Mauritius, when I went there, Prabhupada said that in Mauritius, they could actually be self-sufficient because they had beautiful country, beautiful climate, fertile land, but they decided to grow coffee instead. So the whole Mauritius is full of coffee, so they sell the coffee, and then they have to buy food with it. And with the money to buy the food, and not only the food, but they had to sell the coffee to buy the tractors to grow the coffee. It's that same old story about the Brahmin who only had a pair of underwear. You know that story? The Brahmin with the underwear. Everyone knows it. Well, anyhow, you'll find out. So there was one saintly Brahmin. He didn't own anything. He only had a pair of underwear, but he was constantly chanting Hare Krishna and living quite a peaceful life. But one day he was on the bank of the Ganges, and he took a shower, a bath in the Ganges, and he was drying his underwear on the bank, and one mouse came and stole his underwear. So that was quite embarrassing for the Brahmin. So what he did is he went and he begged another piece of underwear, but then he read on the internet, because he was disturbed, he got a friend to look up on the internet and find out how much his insurance costs for underwear. So he found out that he could get a cheap cat, the cat would protect his underwear. So then the underwear problem he thought he had solved, because he had a cat. Unfortunately, the cat started to make all these strange noises. Meow, meow, meow. So the Brahmin got an interpreter, analyzed what the cat was saying, and found out that the cat needed milk. Unfortunately, there were no grocery stores nearby, so the Brahmin had to beg a cow. But the Brahmin was not very technologically inclined, so he couldn't figure out how to milk a cow, and he found out there was one lady in the nearby village who knew how to milk a cow, so he married her. So now he had a wife and a cow and a cat to protect his underwear. The lady, though, wanted some children, so he had to get a house. So now we had a house, a cow, a wife, two children, and a cat to protect his underwear. But in order to pay for the house, well, in order, he had to get a job. So in order to get the job, he needed a car. But in order to pay for the car, he had to work at night. So now he had two jobs, and he had a car, and a house, and a wife, and two children, and a cow and a cat to protect his underwear. So he was realizing things were getting too complicated, and soon he wouldn't be able to afford the underwear anymore. So he took his underwear off and just walked away. So that's modern society. Making everything more and more complicated, more and more difficult. Therefore, I remember when I grew up in my neighborhood, all the ladies, practically speaking, they all stayed at home and cooked and cleaned and took care of the children. No, none of the ladies were working. But is that the same now in Slovenia? Do the ladies also work? Do they also have jobs? Yes. So now everyone's working and they're getting less. In other words, the very thing, simple things they could afford before, they can't afford before, with one person working, and now two people are working. Now they have the children working, and sometimes they hire out their dog for guard duty in order to bring in some income. But still they can't buy as much as they were buying before, because everything has become more and more complicated. So why? Because their aim, Nite Vidu Swarta Gitim Hivishnu Dharashaya Ye Bahir Artamani, they don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. That by obtaining Krishna, they'll get what they're actually looking for. Because everyone is only looking for three things. Namely, everyone is looking for bliss, happiness, and they're looking for knowledge of how to achieve that happiness for as long as possible. Now, in spite of all the endeavors to work harder and harder and harder in order to get the things that are being promised to give us more and more happiness, people are more and more anxiety. Even when Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada said that he had heard that every third person now sees a psychiatrist.